Tulsa Mayor G.T. Bynum issued a shelter-in-place order Saturday to stop the spread of COVID-19. The order will be in effect through April 16th. Tulsa residents may still make essential trips and exercise outside their home, and the mayor referred to it as an expansion of the state's Safer at Home order for those 65-plus, but he is expanding it to all ages to eliminate confusion. Oklahoma City Mayor David Holt is issuing the same order for Oklahoma City. The two cities become the 45th and 46th of the nation's top 50 cities to issue a shelter-in-place order. Here is the audio from Saturday's briefing at police headquarters with Tulsa Health Department Executive Director Dr. Bruce Dart.
As many of you are aware, the United States surpassed Italy and China 2 days ago with most cases globally and now more than 104,000 cases nationwide. In this country, we've had 1,700 deaths due to COVID-19. Along those lines, I'm very saddened to share that two more Tulsa County residents have died from complications related to COVID-19. These individuals are a man in his 80s and a woman in her 70s. Today, we reported 8 new cases in Tulsa County. The epidemiological investigations continue to be ongoing. This brings the total to 57 confirmed cases in Tulsa County out of 377 statewide. Statewide, there have been a total of 15 deaths in Oklahoma, 3 of those which have occurred in Tulsa County. Our local healthcare systems are continuing to screen and test high-risk priority individuals for COVID-19. These numbers are reported to the Oklahoma State Department of Health. This week, the Tulsa Health Department conducted specimen collection for COVID-19 testing at a mobile sample collection site at a confidential, undisclosed location. This is by appointment only for pre-screened, high-risk individuals who are under and uninsured. As we've said, and this hasn't changed, resources remain limited. We have been requesting more, and yesterday we received just over 100 sample collection kits to use at our mobile sites. Individuals who are high risk with no insurance should call the Tulsa Health Department for screening to determine if you are eligible for sample collection. Specimens collected will be sent to a lab for testing. Symptoms of COVID-19 include fever, cough, and shortness of breath. If you are experiencing symptoms, stay home, call your healthcare provider. Do not call 911 unless you have a medical emergency. Our first responders need to be able to serve those who are having true emergencies. As a reminder, if you do need to call 911 and you are symptomatic, please let the operator know while you're on the line so that the first responders can take necessary precautions to protect themselves while helping you. We understand the measures being asked of the public, things like being asked to stay home, social and physical distancing from friends, being asked to make modifications to your business, or even close the doors to your business, being asked to keep your children home because schools are closed, being asked to view your worship services online. These are monumental disruptions to our way of life. These extraordinary asks, again, are temporary. But I want to explain the necessity of these measures for our community. The Tulsa Health Department has been conducting modeling to predict what may potentially occur locally in the Tulsa metro area based on the rate of infection for an individual with COVID-19. The modeling scenarios account for the important social distancing measures that our elected officials have implemented based on the advice of public health. The science is clear that limiting the number of people that an infected person comes into contact with will slow the rate of infection. This is critical to slow the spread, or as you've heard me say many times before, flatten the curve. Unless we flatten the curve, our hospital system will become overloaded. So please heed the advice of the CDC, the health department, city and county officials, and stay home. Wash your hands, disinfect surfaces, practice social and physical distancing, avoid touching your face, and stay away from those who are sick. And if you are sick, please stay home. I'd like to introduce Mayor Bynum at this time.
Thank you, Dr. Dart. Today, I've signed an order requiring shelter-in-place protocols for Tulsa. The Tulsa Safer at Home executive order will take effect at 11:59 p.m., and it will run through April 16th. at which time it will be evaluated. Over the last 2 weeks, a series of orders have been put in place to slow the spread of COVID-19 in Tulsa. And when we look around the country, we see several common traits of shelter-in-place orders as they're used in the United States. The closure of restaurants, bars, and entertainment venues, we've already done that in Tulsa. Closure of schools, the Oklahoma State Department of Education and our local districts have already done that. Closure of non-essential businesses. The governor's order earlier in this week did that. But in discussions over the last several days with my colleague in Oklahoma City, Mayor David Holt, we determined that this combination of orders was getting us close to shelter in place, but it was confusing for local law enforcement to carry out, and there was still more that needed to be done to keep our citizens safe. So the city of Tulsa and the city of Oklahoma City are today announcing safer at home orders in collaboration with one another. Unlike the safer at home order issued earlier this week by the governor, for which I am very grateful, this safer at home order applies to everyone in Tulsa, not just those over 65 years of age. You don't have to be over 65 to contract or spread COVID-19. Of the positive test cases that we've had in Tulsa County through yesterday, right about a third of them were people over 65. The other two thirds were not. During the duration of this order, all public and private events or social gatherings are not allowed. Essential business, as defined by the state of Oklahoma, should continue to operate, but are also required to incorporate social distancing practices wherever feasible. Employees of an essential business do not need documentation to travel to and from work. Businesses deemed non-essential by the state may continue to operate so long as those operations consist of employees or contractors working remotely and not with customers. Under the Tulsa Safer at Home order, there are still plenty of things that Tulsans can continue to do. Go to the grocery, convenience, or warehouse store. Go to the pharmacy to pick up medication and other health care necessities. Go to medical appointments. Go to a restaurant for takeout, delivery, or drive-through. Care or support for a friend or family member. Take a walk, ride your bike, hike, jog, be in nature and outside for exercise, just maintaining 6 feet between you and those outside of your household. You can continue to walk your pets and take them to the vet if necessary. You can continue to help someone get necessary supplies for their health or well-being. And you can continue to work in an essential business or work remotely at a non-essential business as they are defined by the state of Oklahoma. Now, while I know that these orders seem remarkable in our history as a city, they are not remarkable when you look around our country. Of the 50 largest cities in the United States, Tulsa and Oklahoma City will today become the 44th and 45th cities of those top 50 to implement a safer at home order. I want to be clear that this is not a recommendation. This is an order to protect lives of Tulsans. It will be enforced by the Tulsa Police Department. Officers have discretion to issue citations, and if absolutely necessary, take people to jail for violation of this order. The Tulsa Safer at Home Executive Order, Frequently Asked Questions, and the State of Oklahoma's Essential and Non-Essential Business List can be found at cityoftulsa.org/COVID-19. I'm implementing this order today because I believe it will save the lives of Tulsans. All of us must do what we can to slow the spread of this virus so our healthcare system can properly care for those who need it. And because it's easy to grow complacent, I want to illustrate my concern in starker terms than I have publicly to this date. I saw yesterday that a poll showed 90% of Americans are social distancing. And while that sounds pretty wonderful, it also means that 10% of Americans aren't. In the Tulsa metro, we have around 1 million people. So let's say that that national percentage applies to us locally. That's 100,000 people in our metro area who are at greater risk of infection due to physical proximity. Every model that I've seen over the last 2 weeks shows the infection rate in the Tulsa metro peaking between mid-April and mid-May. Now, on average, 80% of people who will contract this virus will not require hospitalization. They'll be able to self-care at home and get on with their lives. But that means that 20% of those, on average, who contract this virus do require hospitalization. And that would mean, under this scenario in Tulsa, if things continue as they are, that 20,000 people in the Tulsa metro are at high risk of requiring hospitalization in the next 2 months. And that's just for COVID-19. It doesn't take into consideration every other medical necessity that requires hospitalization. That is why the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is in Tulsa today, scouting locations to construct an alternate care site. That is why it is so important that each of us approach this daily with the diligence and vigilance it requires. That is why we are taking unprecedented action locally in Tulsa to protect our fellow Tulsans. Our hospitals work like an elevator in a building. That elevator may transport hundreds of people over the course of a day, but if everyone who rides that elevator over the course of the day tries to get in it at once, it won't work. And similarly, if we can slow the spread of this virus over a longer period of time through all of us practicing social distancing, our local healthcare system can handle it. But it cannot handle a massive surge all at once. We have no margin for error here. And this is why Tulsans are safer at home. Thank you. We'll now introduce County Commissioner Karen Keith.
Today, I want to focus on the things we can do to help each other stay positive and provide support to those who need it. As I mentioned a few days ago, there are so many groups and organizations who are stepping up that we can't name them all, but there are a few I'd like to highlight today. First, Expo Squares created a Tulsa Strong t-shirt designed with our iconic Golden Driller. These t-shirts are $20 to $25, and every penny of that will go to benefit the Tulsa Area COVID-19 Response Fund that was created by the Tulsa Area United Way and the Tulsa Community Foundation. You can go to exposquare.com, www.exposquare.com, to see the images of those t-shirts, and then you can make a purchase and help out in that way. Motherhood Market, Mother Road Market, maybe it is Motherhood. They continue collecting funds for displaced restaurant employees. Next week, they will begin handing out $1,000 checks for the applicants so they could really use your support. If you just log on to the Mother Road website, you'll find that it's super, super easy to make a donation. Another entity stepping up is Iron Gate. They have prepackaged grocery bags available on Wednesdays and Fridays from noon to 1, and on Saturdays from 11 a.m. to noon for anyone that needs help. That is absolutely anyone. If you find yourself looking for a job, Tulsa County currently has more than 40 openings. We are still in need of sheriff's deputies, detention officers, counselors, maintenance workers, part-time parks jobs for the summer, and many other positions that are integral to keeping Tulsa County open. So just go to tulsacounty.org/careers to see the full list and to apply. So shifting gears to county business for a moment, I want to mention that yesterday at our Board of County Commissioners meeting, we approved the use of our old Juvenile Justice Center and the visitor parking lot at the new facility to provide potential place to set up tents or do whatever is needed to help mitigate some of the challenges that we're experiencing with the homeless. Additionally, we have renewed the restricted access procedures for the courthouse through April 13th. So please continue to conduct your business with the county online or over the phone or through postal mail whenever possible. There is a link to every elected official and every department's contact information on our homepage, and that's tulsacounty.org. Over the last few days, we've also made the difficult decision to close our playgrounds, adult fitness facilities, and sports courts, including all tennis, pickleball, and basketball courts, until further notice. Now, this does include the Case Tennis Center. And lastly, reach out to your neighbors and offer to help run essential errands for those who can't or should not go out. Let's keep our distance while helping others out. We have to all remember that the number of cases are going up, not down, as you heard from the mayor, and it will take all of us creating physical distance to begin seeing these numbers decline. So please stay safe, and if your neighbors can help you out, if you're at home and you need some groceries and you really can't get out, call your neighbors and see if they'll bring them, drop them on your porch, and ask for help. People are more than willing to step up. So please stay safe. See you soon.
And if we can answer any questions now.
Rick from Fox 23, Dr. Dart, are people dying from the virus itself, or are they dying of complications caused by the virus? Can you explain the difference?
So far, the deaths that we've experienced in Tulsa County, there have been other complications, and frankly, we can't get into too much detail because privacy and HIPAA laws won't allow us to. Bottom line is that COVID-19 makes you sick, then you're susceptible to other serious issues, and so it's like a snowball rolling downhill.
Michelle from Fox 23. Are all area hospitals seeing COVID-19 patients?
Yes, they are, and we're in close communication with area hospitals. They've all ramped up their ability, their infection control protocols to deal within the capacity that they currently have. No one is immune from seeing COVID-19 patients, and all of our hospitals are doing their part.
This is for the mayor. Stetson from the Tulsa World, can you elaborate on what the Corps of Engineers is working on?
The Tulsa Health Department is probably the best entity to comment on the Corps of Engineers work, but they are in town working with Tulsa Area Emergency Management Agency and the Health Department to scout potential locations for an alternate care site. I don't know if Dr. Dart, you want to add anything to that?
Go ahead. And that's exactly correct. This is, you know, we have pandemic plans in place. This is part of pandemic planning, is identifying, and TAMA has really taken the lead on this too, with our regional medical response system, to identify those alternative care sites in case surge overwhelms the hospital's capacity.
Okay. Chen from Channel 6, with mosquito season approaching, are there concerns with mosquitoes being able to transmit the virus?
Not at this juncture. So far, that all transmissions are person to person, not insect vector to person. So at this juncture, that's not a concern. We have other concerns about mosquitoes and what they can transmit. COVID-19 is not one of those.
Rick from Fox 23, we've gotten a lot of questions about the white tents going up at OSU Medical Center. Do you have any information about that?
You know, I honestly don't. We're in communication with OSU Medical Center quite a bit. I know everybody is practicing. One part of pandemic planning that we always practice is actually getting tents, triage, and see people so they don't go into the hospital system to minimize the risk of exposure. I don't know if that's part of what that plan is, but that's part of any pandemic planning that most hospital systems engage in.
Okay, I have another question for the mayor. Rick from Fox 23 wants to know, who is enforcing your orders?
The Tulsa Police Department will enforce this order.
And he has a question about the issue yesterday with the auto auction, whose owner said he got your specific blessing. Is it time to step up enforcement of violations?
So yesterday was a great example of why we're putting this order in place. We're asking frontline police officers to interpret a state order that was issued, as well as local orders that have been issued, and that's a challenging position to put a frontline officer in and to make an immediate decision on. And so what we're trying to do with this, and Oklahoma City found that they had the same issue, is that there is confusion around what the specific orders were and what should be followed through on. And so this order, I think, clears up any confusion. It should. And it allows us locally, our legal team at the City of Tulsa and within the Tulsa Police Department, to provide direct guidance to officers on what they need to be doing to enforce. But I want to be really clear. This makes two things that are relevant to yesterday important. One, we're not saying that gatherings of 10 or more are prohibited. We're saying gatherings. Social gatherings are prohibited moving forward. We're also saying that if you have a business that has been recognized by the state of Oklahoma as an essential business, that doesn't mean that you're off the hook for identifying social distancing for your employees within your business. And so that is also expected of employers to identify social distancing practices that their employees can observe.
Okay, and our last question is for you. With there being limited visitors to animal welfare, is the city delaying or cutting down on euthanizing dogs and cats since potential adopted families can't see them?
So, well, that's not an accurate question. The Tulsa Animal Welfare is still doing adoptions by appointment. It's just not open for people to casually walk in. And so we certainly continue to encourage people to look at the website, identify animals that are available for adoption. If they see one, they can call and set up an appointment to go adopt it. And we hope people will. So that's the state of affairs at Tulsa Animal Welfare right now.
Okay, thank you
very much. Appreciate it.